Genesis chapter 10. Now this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tiras. The sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz, Riphath, and Togarmah. The sons of Javan were Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. From these, the coastland peoples of the Gentiles were separated into their lands, everyone according to his language, according to their families, into their nations. The sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush were Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Ra'amim, and Sabekta, and the sons of Ra'amim were Sheba and Dedan. Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore it is said, like Nimrod the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Achad, and Kalne in the land of Shinar. From that land he went to Assyria and built Nineveh, Rehoboth, Kalah, and Resen between Nineveh and Kalah, that is the principal city. Mizraim begot Ludim, Anamim, Lehabim, Naphtuhim, Pathrasim, and Kasluhim, from whom came the Philistines and Kaphtorim. Canaan begot Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, the Jebusite, the Amorite, and the Gashite, or Girgashite, the Hivite, the Arkite, and the Sinite, the Arvadite, the Zemarite, and the Hamathite. Afterward, the families of the Canaanites were dispersed. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, as you go toward Gerar, as far as Gaza. Then, as you go toward Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboim, as far as Lesha. These were the sons of Ham, according to their families, according to their languages, in their lands, and in their nations. And the children were born also to Shem, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth the elder. The sons of Shem were Elam, Asshur, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. The sons of Aram were Uz, Hul, Gether, and Mash. Arphaxad begot Selah, and Selah begot Eber. To Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. Joktan begot Almodad, Sheleph, Hazarmaveth, Jerah, Hadaram, Uzal, Dikla, Abla, Abimael, Sheba, Orpher, Havilah, and Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan, and their dwelling place was from Mesha, as you go toward Sephar, the mountain of the east. These were the sons of Shem, according to their families, according to their languages, in their lands, according to their nations. These were the families of the sons of Noah, according to their generations in their nations, and from these the nations were divided on the earth after the flood.
Did he do okay?
Yeah.
A lot of names that are pronounced. Oh, there's some names there. What's funny about it, if they're actually written in the Hebrew, they're a whole lot easier to read. And it's a shame that it didn't put these actually Hebrew letters there, not letter, but at least transliterating them exactly as you would pronounce them in English, and it comes out quite different. And but we don't. So what are a lot of things in this book, in this chapter? As I said before, I'm not going to be able to cover it all. I'm going to cover a few of the names that are kind of important that perhaps we as in our time and age are familiar with, okay, so that we can have a better understanding. There's some interesting phrases here in this chapter of Hebrews, and the pattern or the sequence of which it was spoken of. It's going to be fascinating of it by itself. Are there any questions anybody has? Other than a bunch of names. Who's who, right?
Question.
Sorry, what?
The name Ham, also
Ham,
is that, well, no, I should have been looking before that. It says the sons of Javan were spread out into their territories by their clans with their nation, each with its own language. Now, this is pre-Babel.
No. It's not. Okay, remember once again, now, the Genesis is not written in chronological order.
Okay.
The person who wrote this is telling you, after the effect took place, these are the three sons, and there's three categories, all right? And after the flood, when the language was changed, each one of those had three different languages, or three basic, so we say, family of languages, okay, that separated them. So, yes, it's not telling you that it happened before. It's telling you the Bible, God is not really interested in chronological order, except his own. So, no, you find this quite often, and especially in the book of Genesis, because you got a place there where how could Abraham go all the way to Dan in conquering the three the kings? Dan didn't exist.
Oh, right.
You know, so we're looking back, and the guy's telling us, identifying, the authors are here, are identifying a name that's easy for us to identify. Like in the book of Genesis there in the first chapter about the four rivers. Now, those are named the rivers after the flood, not before. All right? So he's just giving us a point of reference. Without point of reference, we as human beings would be lost.
Right.
You know, so don't think chronological order when it comes to the Bible. I've said many times, you know, the book of Numbers has got history in there that's recorded at the very end of the book of Judges. Why is it recorded there? Because they're not recording history, recording events that are paralleling one another. So we have a picture of what's taking place. And I think Daniel went through the book of Judges there. Remember, the latter part of the book should have been in the very beginning or first part of it. But because it led to the very next event, and it had to do with Eli. So the Bible is written by examples, picture form, if you can. Okay. So I said, this particular chapter records a lot of things. Now, the three things it records is what? What are the three things this chapter is recording?
Genealogy
of
Noah's
sons, not the genealogy of Noah. And this is why it's written this way, because Noah's genealogy, in a sense, is not connected to this chapter in the sense that we think of chronological order or in historical order. Now, explain what it means. What we're talking about here is what it said. The very first word says what? This is the genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And sons were born unto them after the flood. These are all the sons that were born to them after the flood. That's a very fascinating word. We don't know if any were born before. Right? We don't. Doesn't tell us that. But so all we have here is a history of those that are born after the flood. Now, this word after the flood is a very interesting word because it's found in ancient Mesopotamian writings. They always start their history, or not always, but in many of the history books, they always start the word after the flood, then the history begins. You know what I'm saying? So we're looking here in the book of Genesis, and we are looking here in the 10th chapter. We are all descendants of after the flood, none before. All right? And this means one of us, each one of us is related somewhere back with those three guys. We don't know who. I can't trace my back. I can't trace your back. Unless you have a good job and you have a good idea what you trace your back, you'd be the most unusual human being on the face of the earth, I think. But nonetheless, now we rattle off, and what does the name? Okay, by the way, I want you to think about, sometimes I've heard this before, that since the Bible starts out and uses the word, whose name comes up first, Shem, and then Ham, and then Japheth, and we have in our mind, I don't know where we got it from, because it's not in Jewish writings, it's not in Jewish thinking, it's not in Jewish thought, but that they think Shem is the oldest. Now, they talk about the genealogy. Who they talk about first?
Shem.
Who they talk about second?
Ham.
Who they talk about third?
Shem.
Now, when we read about Shem, it says there that Shem, let's go to verse real quick here. If I can find it real quick here. Verse 21. Listen very carefully. And the children were born also to Shem, the father of all of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder. So Shem was not older. Do you see how clear that is? So the reason why is Shem's name mentioned first in when we read it, very first part of that verse, and in the other truck, how come Shem's mentioned first?
Older brother of Japheth. So is that mistranslated?
Mistranslated. Oh. It's Japheth who's the elder. The elder is connected to Japheth, not connected to Shem. Okay, now, with that in mind, why is Shem mentioned first?
People that lived in that general area.
Okay. That's a good logical answer. I mean, who wrote the book?
The Jewish people.
The descendants of Shem. So his name is going to be more prominent than anybody else's today. But why does he have the name? Why does he have a name? Why is his name Shem for?
That's Yahweh.
Okay. He's carrying on. That's the only one of the three that carries on
the name.
Now, it's not that the others didn't or couldn't, but Noah made the statement in the previous chapter. Remember what he said? Right? The God of and the name. The God of the name be with. And the God of the name, God's name was associated with, the connected to, has to do with the line. Remember we talked about in the very beginning of Cain and Abel, we talked about those two. Then we talked about Seth, right? And he was a replacement, all right? He was the one that took the line. And then from his line, we come all the way down here. We get to the word of Noah. And from Noah now, the line still travels through. But the line is traveling through a family by the Shem. Why Shem must be named Shem, because the name is going to follow through that line, not through the other two lines. It doesn't mean that the other two sons didn't know who God was. How could they not know who God was? They're part of the flood, you know? Yes.
Is that why, although all of us here are descendants of Shem, basically, but a person can be anti-Semitic and still be part of the descendants of Shem because they're not against the people of Shem, they're against the name.
Against the name. Right. You understand what I'm saying? What's he saying? There's the line still, we're talking about his name Shem. It's not that he was some great, he was great, don't get me wrong, his name wouldn't be there, it wasn't. And his brother's names were there, they wouldn't be there if it was wrong. And all the other total 70 wouldn't be there if they wasn't important. God didn't put names in there for us to say, okay, bunch of names. No, they have a purpose and meaning behind them because 70 is a very significant number with God, right? And so he stops the number. And all the goyims are now listed. Each one of the families are called goyims. The sons of Shem are called the goyims of Shem. The sons of Ham are called the goyims of Ham. And the sons of Japheth are called the goyims of. So the word goyim is not a nasty word, by the way. Do you know what the word means? Must have been translated. I'm talking about the actual word. It breaks down the real simple word. Breaks down the word of body, a person. The goyim, all that means is a body, a physical body. A dog has a goyim. A cat has a goyim. A fish have a body. That's all it means. So all these talking about here, now here we start using human beings. We're talking about the human body. In the book of Job, it talks about the big, huge animal called what? And in there it says, and God's talking about the scales that's on him. And it says, the scales are on his goy. What? He wasn't a goy. He's not a human being, no. It's on his body. That's all that means. So it's a simple word, meaning just plain that, a person. In the case, it was goyim, it's persons, plurality. And then it turned into what we have in our modern English, nations. Okay, what does the word nation come from? What's the root word of nations? We do it every... The world, United States of America, has something going every single time when it comes to Christmas time. Well, they have a nativity scene. Okay, nativity comes from the core, or comes from the beginning. That's all that really means. So everything, every country on the face of earth actually has a beginning, a nativity scene, if I can use that terminology. And in this case, we have 70, if I use this word, nativity scenes here, right? Of different nations and different peoples who God has separated and spread throughout the earth, and he had it listed as 70. You understand what I'm saying so far? Does that make sense to you? I want to talk about the words here, and the words are kind of important to know so that we have a better, hopefully a better understanding of what it is writing about. Now, to go through some of the names, I'm going to go through some of them, and I go through an awful lot of them. But what does the word Ham mean, or Ham? Told you last week, what was it meant? Hot. Referring to hot climates. So why he got that name is because that's where he and his descendants basically went. They went to the hotter climates, or the tropical climates. That's why they're called. What his name was, one of his sons was Mitzarim. What's Mitzarim?
Egypt.
What does Mitzarim mean? It's a plurality of a world.
Dam builder.
And banker. But the plurality of words, not singular. How come, quote, if you had a, put it this way, if you had a son born to you, would you give your son a plural name or a single name? You give him a single name. But remember I told you last week, the names come when? After something has taken place. Now, historically, the Mitzarim means Mitz or dual. And there has to do with two parts. Basically, two parts. And historically, it has to do with what's called the Upper Nile and Lower Nile. Or Upper Egypt, Lower Egypt. Or Upper Mitz and Lower Mitz. Yes.
You might think of the names almost as nicknames in the sense that a lot of times your nickname, so to speak, lives on a lot longer than your real name.
Your real name.
Say Richard the Lionhearted or Eric the Red, you know, these nicknames live on long after you. And like when Richard the Lionhearted was alive, he didn't have that name. He was born.
But what the ball was he earned it, right? Yeah. But what happened taking a bit? So yeah. We're looking at names again. I want to emphasize that because sometimes we just read names, we have no idea what they're there for. Now, I want to move rapidly to another name. Let's go on to one, some of the sons of Ham. Because why? Because, see, we kind of look at the sons of Ham. You know, he had what son?
Nimrod.
Cain. A lot of, okay, all those bad people we think about, right? All the evil ones, the rotten ones, the corrupted ones, right? That's what we go, that goes through our mind, you know? His family's more corrupt than the rest, you know? That's what we think of, right? Well, you know, take it or leave it, it's not necessarily true. If I'm responsible for the conduct of every one of my kids, oh, great. Are you responsible for the conduct of your kids? Oh, you hope not, you know. So it's not necessarily that Ham really is responsible for. But, let's be careful. Some of the sons and grandsons are responsible. But you remember chapter 4? It talked not about any other son, except for one grandson. What was the grandson's name? Canaan. What does Canaan mean?
Maker of tools.
What?
Did he make tools?
No. Oh, my. He was to become a slave to two of the sons of Noah, right? Alright, now, his name means humiliated one. The one who is humiliated. He is the one that is a slave. He doesn't have... He did something very evil and became and called the humiliated one. Alright, does that make sense to you? That's why. So names are important to know. How come they came up with him? But he wasn't named that at the time of his birth. No. We don't know what his name was, but she just, because the nickname carried on. And that's what we know him by. But see, in English, we say, huh? Okay, Canaan. Who's Canaan? Some people are the black person. No, some people are the white person. Some people are the orange people. No, some people are the yellow people. That's not what it's about. It's about a humiliated person. That's what that name means. Have you ever been humiliated in your life? If you've been humiliated, guess what? You've been Canaan. You've been humiliated. All right? So understand that Hebrew words, and it's important to kind of know these names because we get a picture of what's going on. But I move up here now to verse 6. It says, the sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. And now it goes right, verse 7 is what? First thing it talks about is Cush. Now, very fascinating with Cush, the name Cush. What do you think it means? Yeah, what?
I've got Baal.
Baal, no, not quite. He may be, quote, the father of a Baal, but he is not Baal.
Darkness.
Sorry, what?
Darkness or blackness.
No. Okay. The simple language, it means in English, chaos. Confusion. That's what his name means. Chaos, confusion. Now, he wasn't born with that, but how did he get that name?
He earned it.
How did he earn it?
What did he earn?
All right, now listen to how this goes. This is very fascinating. I want you to look at this thing now. It's very fascinating to pay attention here. Now, we have, what verse are we at? Don't want to go there. Okay, it says the sons of Ham, of course, is Cush and so on and so forth. And it drops down to verse 7. And the sons of Cush were Seba, Havilah, Shabbat, and Ramah, Shabakech, and the sons of Ramah, Shavega, Dina, and Cush begot Nimrod. That's fascinating. How come it wasn't listed in the first part? Why wasn't Nimrod listed in the first part?
Different line.
It's telling us something here. Yes.
I have written here that Nimrod killed a lot of his brothers.
Well, that's. I don't have historical evidence on it, but that's probably a rumor. I don't have a problem with that. We'll tell you, you're probably right, but we'll get there in a minute. All right, so now we're getting to the point where we have to look at this man named Cush. Remember, chaos. He brought forth, or brought, the last son was Nimrod. And what does it say about him? He
was a warrior.
Began to be a mighty man on the earth. All right, now, those are very fascinating phrases.
In the face of God.
What does mighty mean?
Mighty?
Strong?
Violent.
Right. Violent. A warrior.
And strong.
A strong, violent warrior. A strong, horrible person. Brought forth chaos. Who do you think taught Nimrod to do what he did? Chaos did. That's why it's listed in that order. The first series of sons, they don't have the sins of their father, but chaos led onto one of his sons carrying that chaos. Now, what was the chaos that took place?
Torlessness.
So what?
Torlessness.
No, Tor wasn't there yet.
God's law book.
No. We had to get specific what is written. Very important, right here in this chapter. Tells you exactly what's going on. Hi. We're talking about chaos in Nimrod.
I'm thinking of the
Cush.
First.
Oh, what?
Babel.
Close.
I'm thinking of
the statement before.
The beginning of his kingdom.
What?
He was a ruler.
Beginning of what?
His kingdom.
Kingdom! First time it shows up in Scripture. This is why he's called the warrior that went to war face to face against Yahweh, Elohim. That's why he is. That's why it's called a kingdom that was not showed up before till now. So he set up a kingdom which was in the cahoots with chaos. Did you have your hand up?
I did. I'm trying to get this. Okay, you got Shem, Ham, Japheth. Shem, Judah, down here. You got Isaac, Ishmael.
It has to do with the line of the Messiah.
Ham, and then you've got settling somewhere in Nineveh. Nineveh on the map, to me, I think it's Assyria. So I'm confused that there's two different lines and there's still both.
Yes, yeah. There's three different areas. Okay, one is the line of Shem, one is the line of Ham, and the other one's the line of Japheth. We're talking about just the line of Ham right now.
Okay.
And where he was at, what he did.
When
now,
you say kingdom, are you saying Assyrian kingdom?
No, he set up the first kingdom. Okay. He was not Assyrian. We'll get to that carefully. And your Bible is very important because it's mistranslated there. I know they have a capital word there that says Assyria, right? Now, go back there. Asher. And he said, now he began his kingdom. He created four of them, basically. Right? In the land of what? Shinar? No.
Shinar.
What does Shinar mean? Shinar. Huh? Hope you're learning something today. Just means the country of between two rivers. That's all it means. Now, did he? Now listen. Now we know the name of Ham means one that's in the tropical weather. What happened here? What did Nimrod do? He went and created a kingdom. Where did he create the kingdom in? Not where his father was, not where Ham was. He conquered. He went up into a land that was not given or as designated to the line of Ham. He went to war. He was a warrior. So back to your claim, did he kill his own brothers? Probably, I don't know, but definitely for sure, he was a warrior. He built the first known army, first known conqueror. And he did it in the face of the creator of heaven and earth, defiling, making a mockery of the creator of heaven and earth. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? We have to look at it. See, our minds sometimes have been set on Canaan, the humiliated one. We need to kind of pay attention a little bit more of what took place here under Cush. Because his son began to have a kingdom. You can't have a kingdom unless you designate yourself to be king, and you have to have, since he's a mighty warrior before the Creator, he went to war. Yes?
Well, it makes sense why Yeshua says there will be no more war in his kingdom, because he decides who gets what. And the only purpose of war is taking something that doesn't belong to you.
Taking something that doesn't belong to you. And this is what Cain, this is what Nimrod did. He took land that wasn't his. He took the land that's between the two rivers, which was not designated for him. You understand what I'm saying? And he built four of them. Four different independent. He had a, what would we call, three horns, four horns on his head. Four crowns. Okay, four crowns on his head. So, we have a little picture here. Now, let's go on to the next verse. Because I think it's very, very important. It's been written quite wrong. Of course, and, it says now, and from that land, what land? The land between the two rivers, he went to, and your translation probably has Assyria. It's not a noun. It's a verb. He went forth with strength. He went from the land of Shinar, between two rivers, and went forth with strength, with strong, with might. All right? Basic word just means a strong one, or strong, a straight way. Nothing stopped him. He went full throttle. The verb is a verb. It's not a noun here. Because Asher is not related to Ham. Asher was whose son? Shem's son. So who do you think that Nimrod went to war against? The sons of Shem. That's why we have Nimrod there. That's why the name of what was the name of the city you said?
Nineveh.
It wasn't the name that Assyria said. It was a name that Nimrod put there. Because why? He conquered it. He went to war. He set up a kingdom. First time, a king. Why did he set up a kingdom? Challenging God. Not challenging his brothers. Not challenging anybody else. Because it doesn't say that before the face of his brothers, or the face of his father, or the face of anybody else, but before the face of Elohim, Yahweh, Elohim.
Isn't it the same phrase as, what's that one of the commandments, don't have any other gods before
right.
me?
It's, in my face.
In my
face.
And it says Nimrod stood in the face of
correct.
God.
Right. He's challenging God. But remember, chaos. Well, he got his name. Cush got a name there. Ancient coins, by the way, show where the Cush was a very prominent world leader. Ancient Mesopotamian, where his son Nimrod set up the kingdom. Brought his dad along. All right, so you get a little picture, right? So seeing a little bit of picture about what's going on, I hope this will help you out a little bit, see what we can find. But Satan, from the land of Shinar, from the land of two countries, he went forth successfully and built, or he went forth predominantly, or went forth straightway and built Nimrod and the other two cities. Nothing stopped him. Why did he go straight? Because it was successful? Who was going to do battle with him? No one else had an army. Shem's descendants had no army. The rest of Ham's descendants had no army. And Japheth had no army. So it was relatively easy for him to conquer. That's the first army you have showing up on the scripture, right? Well, there's indications that it was before the flood. We know that. But this one here is kind of fascinating that we see. We're talking after the flood, not before.
Shortly after.
Well, no, some generations thereafter, but we're talking what's going on. So,
question.
Yes.
Are there artifacts or anything about these three cities or four cities that we would?
Oh yeah. I don't have them myself, but yes. The city of Nimrod was not discovered until
Nimrod or Nineveh, because
Nineveh was finally discovered in 1850 or
Nineveh or something is called
Nineveh. And when they figured this whole story is phony and fake. And they finally found that this city did exist. Now, what those are digging down, and finding more and more stuff. As long as that country allows the artifacts to be dug, we're okay. Right now, those countries are controlled by the Muslims. They're not about to let that stuff go out.
It's not Iraq? I mean...
Iraq area, right.
No, because, I mean, we bombed...
Nimrod between the two cities.
Bombed to death. I mean, I don't know whether we destroyed it or
That's superficial.
Oh, no, it's very deep.
Oh.
In the old days, unlike we have here in the modern days, we have big, huge, giant bulldozers.
Oh, yeah.
We might get rid of a building, put some bombs in there, blow it up. You know what they did in the old days? They can't do that. They just piled dirt on top and built.
Yeah.
Called a tell. They kept building city on top of city.
Yeah.
That's what they did, right?
Good.
In ancient America, we used to do that.
Now another
city of Seattle built upon a city.
Yeah, that's right. Another question is, my scripture here says that Nimrod was a mighty man, one in the earth, mighty one in the earth.
Right.
Maybe that one in the earth was in the nations, what you said.
Eretz. The word for Eretz. Mighty one on Eretz, the earth.
And he was a mighty hunter before the Lord.
Yes, in the face of the Lord.
In the face of the Lord?
The hunting is not like hunting game.
Uh-huh.
The hunting is like going out and chasing and attacking. Okay, that's what it boils down to.
So then it sounded like before the Lord sounded like it was,
The word before there is pane.
You mean like in the...
Means face. Well, a word that says before in Hebrew means face.
So he was against the Lord then.
Yeah.
So
he was a mighty hunter, facing God.
Oh, okay.
He took his face and faced God. And so he wasn't before God. He was... That's how God viewed. That's the eyes of the eternal looking down. Uh-huh. And we're seeing the eyes of the eternal saying, you know what? You know what I see? And he's telling us what he sees. That's what we see. Remember the menorah, the two lights, all the lights were there for? So God saw this. No, and that word before, space doesn't mean replace.
Right.
Okay, look what I see. My old eye, my old faith, I see what's going on here. And so, this is what's happening here.
Was this from last week's Before the Lord? Did you use that last week?
Or? No.
Are there other scriptures that...
Yes, yes. Before is quite a lot of times the word before is very abundant and it should be pane.
Oh.
Yeah, it's in
and
the,
it means faith. I'm sorry, what?
It's in the Ten Commandments. When it says,
it's in the Ten Commandments.
No other gods before me.
Before me. You have no other gods.
So it's
face.
In a negative sense, though.
No. Not always negative. No.
Negative.
Because he says face to face. God wants to look at us face to face. That's pane to pane.
Okay.
Pane
to
pane.
So it doesn't need to be
face.
Negative here about him being a mighty warrior.
It's negative in a sense that's how God saw it.
But how do you know that was a negative sense of...
Because he's a mighty warrior. The word mighty in there means warrior.
Well, weren't there any other mighty warriors before the Lord after Noah, or he was the only one that...
No, he was the main one. He was the key one. He was the first one. He's the first one to set up a kingdom. He's the first one to have and go to war. He's the first one that called to conquer. He's the one that set up kingdom for his own self.
So he knew God, but he just wanted his own kingdom.
You got it. These were not a bunch of pagans. No. I don't know, we have a picture of a bunch of pagans. They're not a bunch of pagans. They knew who God was.
Right, but I want my own.
That's right. That's all. It's defiance before the Creator.
Right.
And sometimes we look and think, oh, these guys are pagans. No, they weren't. They knew who God was. They decided to set themselves up as king.
Yeah.
So they may be worshipped. Now, when that happens, paganness comes in. All right? Does that make sense to you? What I'm saying? Yes.
And I think, is not the issue in the word kingdom? He made himself king.
Yeah, you have to. Melech, Melech.
Made himself a ruler.
First
time the word kingdom is used within that word kingdom. You know, we use that phrase quite often. That's very fascinating. No, it's the first time. Shut up. I said, oh, that's the defiance. That's where chaos was set in. Chaos set in when he set up his own kingdom.
Yeah.
In defiance of and in challenging of, and he was a warrior. Now, sometimes we think, you know, we have all these other people have different kind of backgrounds of who Nimrod was, and they have association with, you know, his mother and his wife and the tree and the Yule log. Like, throw it out for a while. Throw it out. This is not what it's about. This is not what this book is telling us about. This book is telling us about something about an individual who did something, set up a kingdom. That's the key thing about Nimrod. The key thing about him. And he did it in defiance. And it brought forth chaos. Does that make sense? We could add anything we want to add to somebody who's done some research about something about paganology and linking it with Nimrod and linking it with who else? His mother. They think his mother, Semiramis, doesn't say that. But we're not interested. You know, the God does not look at, very seldom does he look at, I'm sorry, does not face women and say, oh, look at you did. You know, once in the Bible shows it up, but it's the guy. We can blame, this is what I said, we can blame, quote, Nimrod's mommy. Wait a minute. The world of the living God. Who's he pointing the finger at?
His dad.
That's right. That's where it's at. That's the core. That's the heart of the matter. You know? So I know that an awful lot of you, especially recently, if you've done some research about the paganology of Christmas and Easter and all that, and you link it all this there, here, there, all this Nimrod. I want to remove that from your mind. Not that it's not true, but remove from your mind. This is the core. This is why God is mad. This is why God said, this is what it's all about. And ever since then, if any dictator, any tyrant, is also by the Hebrew word for the one that says strong, also means a tyrant. So terrorized. Anytime someone terrorizes you, they're a Nimrod. They are a Nimrod. They are acting in the name of chaos. Right? Simplicity of the word. All right, any more questions? Any more thoughts? I can't really go too much farther. I'm sorry I got a little excited there, but I'm really trying my very best not to do that. That's funny. I wake up this morning and I'm just, okay. I'm talking to myself. You know, but I found out God talks to himself. He said he did. And anyway, so I talked to myself and I said, I'm going to be a nice guy today. That was my goal, be a nice guy today.
Did you answer yourself today?
My answer was, of course, I said yes.
Then you're okay.
But guess what? It didn't come out that way. Okay, now there's a few more things I would like to be able to go through just for. Yes. Where was I going to go to? And I have a note here, and by the way, it comes from. Some of you people ought to read Two Babylons if you got one. You know, of course, he goes into the thing about, you know, Catholic Church. Show it off for a while. Just get information. Just get data and find out what it really has to say. And he's got some very fascinating ancient writings. He had documentation that you and I would never get to because we're not in London. If you're in London and we're scholars, then we'd get it. But, you know, most of us, we can't walk into those libraries because they look at you and they say, throw you out because you're too dumb. Anyway. Because you're not a scholar. Got to be a scholar. Get in there. But anyway.
It's
monks.
Accent.
I'm sorry, what?
It's the wrong accent.
Wrong accent. Got his dumb American accent. Yes. But one of the names of his cities, we know what Baal turned into being, because it turned being chaos, or what did God call it? Confusion. Now, isn't that a good name? Baal's a good name? Confusion? Isn't it a fat name? Do you think it was a play on words? Of course.
Baal doesn't mean confusion, does it?
Means confusion.
Yep.
Baal means, no, not Baal, the Baal. Babylon.
Babylon.
Baal. Means confusion. I wonder where he got the name from. Maybe the dad. Chaos. Who brought forth confusion? All right. So, well named. Why do you think? I think Nimrod named it that way because it's named after his father in a different way, but play on words.
You think God made a play
actually,
on
God him? Actually, God put him on there, yes.
You think God made a play on him when he confused their languages?
Oh, yes. He did more than that. He just upset them radically.
Well, I mean, but it's almost kind of humorous, cynical in a way. It's like, okay, you want to name a city confusion. You know, go in and confuse the language.
Yeah.
I'll give you some.
Yeah.
I'll give you some confusion.
The city of Babel, or Babel, is the first city that they have has history that has recorded that has a wall around it. It was a fortified city, a big wall around the city. First known city to have that.
He was afraid somebody would do what he did.
Yeah. Well, he thought, huh?
Walls for protection. How's he afraid of something?
Yeah. Yes. And the ironic, the next chapter, the ironicness of this whole thing is that inside that wall, he built a tower. Built a wall so that, oh, God can't get me. I'll build a tower. I'll build a tower now. A big thing for ourselves. We're the greatest thing on the face of the earth. And God says, oh, really? Confusion language. Now, we think about confusion language. We'll get there tomorrow. Yes.
What was his view of God if he thought a wall could keep him back?
Yeah.
Stupidity. No, really.
Well,
God is too dumb. God's not that strong. God is kind of like not really looking, or God does not have that power or strength. Yes. Well, the funny thing is, his grandfather came out of the flood.
No, truly.
Truly.
He had a pretty small view of God.
Sorry, what?
He had a pretty small view of God.
If none whatsoever.
Yeah.
Probably because God didn't oppose him in that time. He didn't feel any opposition from God. He got away with it up until that point.
His dad got away with it. Yes.
A confused person doesn't think they're confused. These
he wasn't confused.
People didn't think they were confused and didn't think they were chaotic. They thought God's ways are chaotic. Therefore, they set up their system. God looks at human systems and says it's all chaos.
I get your point there, yeah. But they did it in on a purpose to challenge God, not for the purpose of just, you know, becoming number one guy in the face of the earth. But it had to do in the face of God, had to do in the challenging God.
Evolution is before God, you know, is in the face of God.
Yeah, so. Try to make a mockery of God. It won't work. Okay. Yeah, and like we said before about the Mitzorim, the ancient, it's called the embanker, or the one that embanks. And Mitzorim's engineering feat on the Nile River is still present to this day. Those embankments that he put on that Nile River to keep control of the flood are still there to this day. Now, the man was not a stupid man, was he?
No.
Very successful, very prominent, and very smart. Not only just a civil engineer, he was an engineer. Now, see, we have a tendency to look negative upon Ham, and it really wasn't him. It was his son and his grandson. So sometimes, you know, we have to kind of to change our attitude about sometimes and think differently about what, and just say, what does it really say us? What does it really tell us? Okay. Any more thoughts? Because I want to continue on with this chapter, but I can't very well do it today because there's just too much stuff in there. Yes. No questions? Can't believe it. I got so much time left over.
When do the races begin?
Races. There's only one race. When do the nations begin to separate? Right after the flood.
So
the three main segments of mankind began to separate soon after the flood, because that was God's will. Okay, we have the sons of Shem, we have the sons of Ham, we have the sons of Japheth. Those three main groups began to separate because God said, "I want you to do that. Replenish the earth." He told them.
So you say there's no races; it's just mankind.
Yeah, just mankind. That's
no
all.
Yellow
it is.
Race and
no.
Black
no.
race.
Race is a
evolutionary.
Yeah, that's the word I want. Thank you. It definitely is evolutionary. You go back to the. To Darwin and even back before him, they started labeling it that way. And we come part of our education today because we believe evolution. Let's tell us the truth, at least part of it. No, evolution is a total lie from its beginning all the way to its end. Wow. There's not a bit of truth in it. Mm-hmm. That I'm my personal opinion. Well, I clarify, you know, I have to have my statement. That answers your question?
Yeah. It's sort of similar than the race idea, you know, helping.
Yeah. What happened? The Goyims, all of them are called Goyims, and they all scattered throughout the world.
But see, they say Goyim, to me, from like Jewish perspective, was the pagans outside.
That's
the
not
Jews.
True. That's not true. Because very beginning.
At
the very beginning.
The body.
Right. Now, what has happened in modern terms, the word Goyim came to mean a foreigner, a foreigner. Okay? And so we have this separation between now, but that's not because of God. Okay? It's because of man. It's man who made themselves separate. And then, and you know, the Pharisees, or why are they called Pharisees? They separated themselves from the rest of society. Okay? And anybody who was not a Pharisee, they were pagan. Even a Jew who was a Pharisee was a pagan. Anti-God. So we got to be careful with those, you know, labeling. Men like to label things.
Yeah.
The Word of God just, oh, you want to know what it was? It was chaos. Oh, he names them.
So do you find these things out, like through the origin of words or something? You can go back like...
Yeah, yeah. The origin of words is not hard to find. They're really easy to find, origins of words. Very easy to find origins of words, especially in Hebrew. Easier in Hebrew than any other language. That is true. Greek's a little bit tougher. They have to a little bit more detail in Greek when you go into there, because there's a lot of words there that get all confused back and forth. And yes, Ellie.
One of the things that Answers in Genesis brings out.
Oh, is the name of the company?
Is that. The races was a term evolutionary, certainly, but that people came up with as divisions. They could have easily used short ear, long ears, and that would have been divisions. They picked...
Big nose, small nose.
Oh, they could have used noses. They could have done tall, short. Those are the tall people, these are the short people. They picked skin tone.
Easiest thing to spot.
One of the easier things to spot. Short, tall is easy to spot. I'm surprised they didn't do that. But it was just a divider that they found and decided to use. So there's actually no difference. It's like dogs, curly hair, straight hair. There's all just like all people's curly hair, straight hair. We're all still of that kind.
Just as I close for right now, I want you to start reading the book of Genesis, a couple of things keep in mind. It's not in chronological order. It's in historical events order. That's what this event, they're paralleling something one to another. And so I don't need to go any farther. Okay?